Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 388. Welcome back to the program. This week, I have just one article for you guys. It took a little bit of legwork in order to get the permission to use it, but we got it, and they were really cool about it. So I'll tell you about that in just a moment. First up in the news, a lot of great feedback from our YouTube channel now that we've been updating it. Thank you so much. You know, if you comment or anything on any of the videos, you ask questions, I do the same thing I do with email. I try to get to you each and every comment and at least acknowledge you and answer any questions I can. So thanks for your patience there. I want to thank everybody for subscribing on our YouTube channel. We're trying to increase some subscriptions to the YouTube channel. By doing that, we get some cool access to like YouTube Studios and things in other cities. So if I go to like Los Angeles, I can show up at a YouTube studio and use it, that kind of thing. So looking forward for the future of the WCY podcast and what we'll be able to do to bring Masonic education, enlightening education for the profane and Masonic alike. Of course, our focus is through the lens of Freemasonry, the world's oldest fraternity. So I reached out to the editor, Doug Kenyon. He's the editor and publisher of the ever-popular magazine, Atlantis Rising. Now, this magazine has been out for many years. They've got a good website, and they've got some really cool articles that get published here every once in a while. And I really like the magazine. Of course, you know, you don't just with anything, you don't buy into everything, right? But there's some wonderful things that's contained within the magazine. Its main focus is, of course, ancient mysteries, check. Unexplained anomalies, check. Future science, check, right, all the things that I'm into. And I ran across an article published back in June of 2011, number 87, and Atlantis Rising said I could read it on the air in its entirety. So I'm really excited to do that for you guys. I think you will enjoy it. And many thanks goes out to Atlantis Rising magazine for their hospitality and letting us read the article online. And for the podcast, we'll have a link that goes right back to their website. I'm not going to rip the article and put it in a PDF for the show app, right? I mean, this is their property. So if you want to read it, just follow the links in the show notes and head on over to the website there where you can read it in its entirety. But we're going to read it on the program right after this. Now comes the point in the show where I ask you to help support this show. How do we do that? Well, we have a bunch of different ways to do that today. If you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, you can click on direct donation through PayPal, which we briefly touched on in the beginning of the program. Of course, you can make that one-time donation, or you can sign up to be a monthly contributor. Contributing $2 a month, $5, or even $10 a month, whatever you choose, really helps the program out. Of course, we have a limited edition shop where you can pick up any number of items that come direct from us. Help us out by going to MasonicRevival.com, but also we have some other affiliates that are really important. Bankers Best, one of the most unique things we've ever done, is to work with Brother Levi Banker out of St. Louis, who owns his own company called Bankers Best Beard and Skin Care. He's been so generous. If you head to WCYpodcast.com, click on More, then click on Bankers Best, and you can check out a bunch of the different products he's got. He's got a whole line of beard care products, skin care, oils, balms, all of this stuff, and he has been doing it a long time. He knows a lot about it. Everything is handmade, quality items. We even came up with the King Solomon's Reserve Beard Balm, which is a few years old now, but remains one of the great products that he still offers. Even the artwork on the bottle was done by a brother. The nice thing about this particular product is 50% of the proceeds come back to the program. If you're a history guy like me, then you'll be pleased to know that what makes the beard oil and balm very special is that it was made utilizing the fragrances specific to the exports of King Solomon's time and location, which is amazing. So black fig and honey is the formula. Luxurious scent, as Levi says, truly fit for our first Grand Master. If you use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, you'll also get a little bit of a percentage off. Please check that out. Bankers Best, or just head on over to buybankersbest.com. We also will have a code with On It. You can go to our website, click on More, then go to On It, and you can click through any of the links here, or just go to onit.com and use the promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and they'll send a little bit back to the program to help us out. And of course, it's business time. The book that I wrote with John T. Ruark, it is making some real waves, and people are using it and seeing success. So check that out on Amazon. You can click right to it. You can get it on Audible, Kindle, or in print, even on iBooks. And last but not least, I want to ask you to check out the Great Books program. You'll see the banner for it on the left-hand side, Intellectual Linear Progression. Use the promo code WCY, or you can just click on that link there, and you'll actually go right to the website and hear a little bit from Scott Hambrick about how awesome the program is. So that's it. I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you so much for helping us out. Before I go ahead and get into this reading for you, I did have a question that I wanted to pose to everybody out there. I got a great email the other day, and a brother had asked my opinion on something, and I had never thought of it before, and I just thought it was such a cool idea. And I told him I thought the idea was great, and he said, if you don't mind, bounce it off the listeners and see what they think, and let's create a little bit of a dialogue maybe on the Facebook page, you know, just in the show, under the show link or whatever. Let us know what you think. Here's the idea. He's got this idea that Freemasonry probably needs to be more active in the community at large, you know, be a face, have some kind of face there. And he thought an interesting way to do this would be to either purchase adjacent lots or some sort of land within the community and turn it into a community garden where brothers get together and do the gardening. They'll also have food drives, brothers who are there to hand out canned foods and collect food and do all that, kind of set something up, whether you have some people show up or however, but a cool community garden type place that's run by the Masonic Lodge for the community. What do you guys think about that? Is that cool? Is it doable? If you've got some ideas, if you've ever done this, success stories, let us know. And I know the particular brother who asked about this will love reading the responses. I thought it was a great idea. So with that, let's go ahead and get right into this week's paper, which comes from the Atlantis Rising Library. And it's called The Lost Legacy of Freemasonry. Do Forgotten Ancient Secrets Lie Buried in Misunderstood Rituals? Published May-June 2011, number 87. Dan Brown's recent best-selling novel, The Lost Symbol, depicts Freemasonry as having a fundamental role in the founding of America. The quote-unquote Lost Symbol, or Final Secret of Freemasonry, as used by Brown in his fast-paced thriller, gives, along the way, very good information about Masonic lore and its role in the formation of our nation. I speak as a Mason myself. Central to it all are images of light and the answer during Masonic initiations, which a candidate gives to the question, what do you desire most of all? Is more light. But plainly, light means knowledge, or properly, wisdom. The purpose of proper Freemasonry is to, quote-unquote, make good men better by imparting ethical teachings and esoteric knowledge, which, when deeply understood, impart wisdom. The tradition of Freemasonry speaks to the lost word, which its legendary founder, Hiram Abiff, took with him to the grave as he was building the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem about 1000 BCE. Is there a secret knowledge embedded in Freemasonry which has become lost or invisible to Freemasonry itself? Various Masonic writers have indicated that this is precisely the case. Freemasonry, they say, has lost touch with the deeper wisdom of its tradition. Some of its rituals seem to obliquely refer to that original but lost knowledge. For example, in Royal Arch Masonry by W.L. Tucker, Royal Arch Masons, Volume Number 20, Number 5, Spring 2001, page CT5, we read, quote, we are told of the return of the sojourners, Jews in exile in Babylon, who wanted to assist in the rebuilding of the temple, and we are told of the vault. This is pure history. After the candidate is lowered into the vault, in the modern Scottish Rite ceremony reenacting the history, he feels around until he finds something like a scroll of vellum or parchment, part of the long-lost sacred law. What was found, really, was a way to return to the way of life founded on the principles of the Bible, symbolized by the scroll which was found. End quote. In the last decade or so, a growing number of Masonic scholars and historians have discussed the topic, which may link directly to Tucker's statement above. In brief, there is evidence suggesting that a secret vault beneath the floor of the Roslyn Chapel near Edinburgh, Scotland, may hold some long-lost scrolls once possessed by the Knight Templar. Roslyn Chapel's floor plan replicates a section of the Temple of Solomon, Roslyn Castle, and environs under the Earl of Sinclair allegedly became the headquarters of the Knights Templar after they fled arrest in France in 1307, when King Philip IV violently suppressed the Templars. According to this emerging view of the Order of the Temple, or Templary, those scrolls, purportedly copper, were obtained by the very first Templars in the 12th century, when they were allowed by the King of Jerusalem to establish their headquarters on the site of the Temple of Solomon. Working stealthily to excavate a secret vault beneath the temple, they obtained a great hidden treasure, which they knew to be there, that apparently was the true reason for their presence in Jerusalem. Part of the treasure may have been actual gold and jewels. That would help account for the meteoric rise in wealth which the Templars are known to have achieved. But the greatest treasure, it is believed, would have been the scrolls containing ancient esoteric knowledge about the secret of Jesus and the Bible. What is that secret knowledge? In a word, enlightenment. I do not mean simply psychological transformation of the mind, but rather psychophysical transformation or transubstantiation of flesh, blood, and bone into the body of light, precisely the resurrection body which Jesus Christ demonstrated in his conquest of death. That is the quote-unquote way to return to the way of life founded on the principles of the Bible, which Tucker mentions above. It would certainly qualify as a quote-unquote rediscovery of that lost master's word in the rubble of Solomon's temple, noted by Thomas C. Berry in a letter to the editor of the Royal Arch Mason, summer 2001, page 167. On the basis of my reason, research, and personal experience, I have concluded that the real secret of Pharaonic Egypt, from which so much in Freemasonry purportedly derives, is the attainment of the light body. That, I think, is the highest teaching which was conferred on initiates in the King's Chamber of the Great Pyramid. I also think that esoteric knowledge was brought by Moses from Egypt into Judaism, and later was recorded on the copper scrolls, presumably hidden beneath the temple in Jerusalem. Moses, a Hebrew, was adopted as a baby by the Pharaoh's daughter and was raised as royalty, so he would have been schooled in the spiritual practices of Egypt. So, if the Templars recovered that hidden teaching, it would be the greatest treasure in the world. Far more so than gold and jewels. It would be the secret of immortality and what Freemasonry calls the quote-unquote the lodge on high, not made with human hands. I can't help but wonder if those scrolls are now buried beneath the floor in Roslyn Chapel as the recent book, The Hiram Key, indicates. If this speculation is correct, the greatest and most valuable aspect of the Templar treasure would be a codex of enlightenment. There is another aspect to the newly emerging story of the Knights Templar which also excites me. It is the possibility that America is the result of a Templar Masonic experiment intended to create the new Israel or Promised Land in the New World, not a Jewish nation, but a universally God-centered and moral society, as Israel was called to be by Jesus and earlier by the prophets. Here's my thinking about it, which, I admit, is highly speculative. Several recent books about the Knight Templar and the Holy Grail indicate that the African kingdom of Mali should be credited with two momentous facts bearing profoundly on Euro-American history. According to Michael Bradley in his 1988 book, Holy Grail Across the Atlantic, and building on that, William F. Mann's 1999, The Labyrinth of the Grail, by the 14th century, the Emperor of Mali had ships going to the New World, and other Africans had crossed much earlier. Stone statues in Central America of men with African-American features appear to be mute testimony to this extraordinary achievement. Transatlantic travel could not have been done without the development of a method to measure longitude. That means Africans solved the problem of determining longitude at sea long before Europeans did. However, the knowledge was lost, and apparently had no influence on the solution developed by Europeans in the 18th century. Why it was lost, and why Malian seafaring culture declined, are topics for research. The The Bradley Mann thesis contends that knowledge of longitude measurement was passed from Mali to Arabic culture, and thence to the Knights Templar, whose interactions with Arab Muslims in the Middle East were sometimes friendly rather than hostile. The Knights Templar, in turn, kept that knowledge secret, using it for their own purposes. Those purposes may have included voyages to the New World a full century or more before Columbus, through Prince Henry Sinclair of Scotland and Orkney. In 1398, he sent a three-ship expedition which reached Nova Scotia on the east coast of America, where the remains of a buried Scottish knight at Westford, Massachusetts, and the so-called Viking Tower at Newport, Rhode Island, indicate the presence of the Sinclair expedition. The Westford site has a knight carved into a rock ledge, where the remnant of what appears to be a broken ancient sword was found. The knight's shield bears the crest of the Clan Gunn, who were subjects of Sinclair. The Viking Tower interior geometry, the researchers say, is reflective of Templar design in 14th century Scotland rather than Viking architecture. Sinclair's forebears had granted refuge in Scotland to fugitive Knights Templar when King Philip of France disbanded the Order of the Templars in 1307 and burned its Grand Master Jacques de Molay at the stake. The Templar fugitives' fleets of ships left La Rochelle in France and sailed around Ireland to Scotland. Those Knights Templar made Roslyn Castle, the ancestral home of the Sinclairs, their center of operations. Roslyn Chapel was begun in the mid-1400s and completed before the end of that century. It contains carvings of maize, Indian corn, and aloe plants, which are native to the New World. How did the builders of Roslyn Chapel get knowledge of New World plants a century before Columbus discovered America? As I mentioned above, the Templar contact with Mali Arab culture during the Crusades led to it. Because of their experiences with the political corruption of the Old World, the Templars apparently conceived a secret plan for creating a new and better society in the North American wilderness. That plan became the basis of Freemasonry and its influence over the founding of America. Francis Bacon, who was a driving force behind the creation of the Royal Society for Scientific Research, was connected to the Templar remnant. He also wrote The New Atlantis, about a mythical land to the west, and his account of that land shows remarkable parallels to later historical developments in the New World, as if his book were a kind of secret blueprint for the Masonic endeavors in the vast and virgin continent. Over several centuries, according to the New View, Templary was transformed into Freemasonry, and by the time of the American Revolution, many of the founders of America, those who fought for the nation, those who signed the Declaration of Independence, and those who created the Constitution were Masons. Among them were George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, John Hancock, Paul Revere, John Paul Jones, and many others. Perhaps, just perhaps, there is a secret history to America, much like what has been alleged by Manly Palmer Hall in America's Secret Destiny, and by others who claim there is an occult or esoteric foundation to America. Perhaps, just perhaps, America is in part a Templar/Masonic effort to advance human society on the basis of secret knowledge and secret activities, much as fables about the Illuminati claim. Please note, I refer to the true Illuminati, better known as the Ascended Masters, whose native state is the resurrection body or light body, and who constitute the quote-unquote lodge on high not made with human hands. The Illuminati conspiracy, launched in 1776 by Adam Weishaupt of Bavaria, was a false and corrupt use of the term, which was rightly denounced by true Masons. It's all very far from being clear and certain to me, but if there is anything sacred about America, it is the idea that God is the author of our being and the source of our freedom and sovereignty, our rights, our justice, and our human dignity. Those are very Masonic ideas injected into the social, political institutions of our nation by those great Masons who were among the creators of America. Was it purely chance, or has the hidden hand of God been guiding our affairs through the centuries and working through barely visible means which carry the symbols and substance of Freemasonry? The author is a 32nd degree Mason of the Scottish Rite and a Knight Templar of the York Rite. He has published 15 books, including The Meeting of Science and Spirit, What is Enlightenment? A Practical Guide to Death and Dying, and, for children, The Christmas Mice. His writing has appeared in the New York Times, the Saturday Review, Reader's Digest, Science of Mind, Esquire Omni, Women's Day, and other publications. The article comes copyright from Atlantis Rising Magazine. You can find it on AtlantisRisingMagazine.com. Our thanks again goes out to them and the editor and publisher for his gracious gift of letting us use it for the show. Several things about that piece ring out to me. You know, lots of parts of it seem to be familiar, like the Templar bloodline, the Templar formation of America. I think, you know, if you all remember, Joseph James, a Masonic filmmaker, made a movie called Templar Nation, which kind of explored that idea. In addition, the idea of Francis Bacon and his New Atlantis being a blueprint for America. You know, I own a copy of that book, and it is very interesting to read. And when we contemplate what America is based on, again, there are some amazing coincidences there, as Frottero would tell you, some shocking correlations. I'm not sure how I feel about the Roslyn Chapel, like a vault underneath there. You know, we're heavy in my house on watching the Oak Island show because of Steve Harrison. My wife and I got addicted to the show, and you know, I don't know. There's just so much. The reason the article is fun, right, is because there's so much unknown. It asks a lot of questions, and it tells us things that are familiar to what we do know. I loved his explanation of the true Illuminati as the Ascended Masters. I have not heard that term in a really long time in relation to this idea of hidden mastery. But the idea of what they were talking about, this idea of light body, that was really wild too, right? This is the idea of almost like apotheosis, achieving transcendence. And who knows? I mean, we know in physics some really key things that make ideas like this not so far-fetched. Of course, I guess I could use that as a segue and a plug. I do a presentation on that. That's about 45 minutes to an hour, where we talk about why that is a possibility, how immortality, transcendence, is perhaps factual. Anyway, that's all I have time for this week. I hope you guys really enjoyed the paper. Please don't forget to give us some feedback about the idea of Masonic community gardens and what we can do with those. I would really appreciate that. I know the brother who wrote in would appreciate the feedback as well. Huge shout out to everybody out there who is sharing these episodes on YouTube or sharing your podcast links to your social media and sharing it with your friends and family. And a huge shout out goes to all of the significant others out there, whether you're men or women listening to the program, who turn this on in the car and then you have to listen to this show even though it's not really your thing. I do appreciate everybody out there who listens to the program and goes along for the ride. In any case, I have a plane to catch. I gotta head out to Victorville, California. By the time you hear this, I'll be back, but I still gotta get packed up. So, until next week, for Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Stay on the level.
Been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.